envision three female attorneys coming together to have our voices heard. Each of us would have different opinions, different passions, different backgrounds, and different views. Although we are different and unique, we are able to come together to discuss our experiences, navigating through the legal profession and this thing called life. Now, the vision has come alive, and we invite you each and every week to listen to us as we talk about what's trending in the news and our legal insights, tackle real-life issues that affect not only us as attorneys, but us as women of color. Disclaimer, this podcast is intended to provide entertainment and general information. The information provided and the views given are not intended to constitute legal advice and should not be relied upon as legal representation. All views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever we are affiliated with now or will be affiliated with in the future. Hey guys, welcome back. It's your girl Brandy, and you're here with your favorite attorneys. No further questions. I hope everybody has had a good week, a good weekend, everything else. We are coming today to talk about estate planning, something that is well needed in our community. But before we get started, I want us to reintroduce ourselves. Go ahead, Sam.
Hi, Sam Fraze here. Happy to see everyone. I hope everyone had a great week, a great Juneteenth, and I'm happy to be here.
I am. Taria T. Hutch.
Hey guys, it's Taria. Yes, the hairstyles continue to change every week. As you can see, COVID is still there, but my hairstylist is back. Therefore, call me Kelly Rowland.
Call her COVID Rowland, okay? She's back in the beauty shop.
I'm not playing with y'all today, not on today. Well, we definitely have a very special guest with us today. We have Miss Alicia Jones, who is an estate planning attorney. And she is going to educate us, teach us about the importance of estate planning, why we need estate planning, especially in the Black community, because I'm tired of seeing them GoFundMe pages for Cousin Pookie and Uncle Ray Ray, because we need to stop. So we're going to go ahead, Alicia, introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are. Tell our listeners who you are. Hello, Alicia.
Are you frozen?
Oh no.
Well, hello, my name is Joan, and as the legacy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. My name is Alicia Jones. I'm a legacy planning attorney here in Houston, Texas. And I'm excited because I love that our community gets a chance to have four wonderful attorneys in their face talking about the law and breaking it down so they can understand it. And that's one thing that my firm loves to do. My firm is Jones Legal, PLLC, here in Houston, Texas.
Well, let's just go straight into. So what is estate planning? Like, that's first and foremost. Like, tell us, what is estate planning?
Right. That's for rich people, right?
Well, you know what? People think that because they don't know what's actually in their estate. So we say estate, but I try to call it legacy planning because in our community, we all have a legacy to leave. You're either going to leave a broken one, you know, or you'll leave one where your children and your grandchildren will have something to start from. And the way I like to think about it is you've worked hard your whole life. You've put aside retirement, or you have insurance, and you've tried to take your family to another level. So why make your children start from scratch? Make a plan so that they can start from where you are, from where you leave off, and progress from there. So that's what a plan is. It's creating a legacy for your beneficiaries, for your children.
Okay. So like generational wealth, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my next question is...
Exactly.
So, but the thing is, in your opinion, and this is, you know, why do you think we don't leave a legacy? Is it because we assume we're broke, or is it assuming that we don't want to leave anything to our children? Because other races do it all the time.
So that's about like three part. One thing, I actually had a conversation with one of the local probate judges, and I had that same thought, like, our community is the only one that's not planning. But if you look at it, look at stars that have died with millions of dollars in no estate plan. Right. People just don't put a value on it. Prince, for instance, right. although he was a black man, died with no estate plan. So it's a lack of knowledge. And we think that it's a long process, or I need to have a couple million to be able to leave it to my children. But there are a lot of tools that we can use in legacy planning just to help you pass down what you do have. Like, let's create a plan for what you do have. And then, of course, the other thing with legacy planning is not just a will. There are documents that come into play while you're alive. Powers of attorneys, medical directives, things like that are important while you're still alive and just not able to take care of yourself. So I think it's a lack of knowledge of the actual process. And like you said, we just don't understand what's considered beneficial to pass down to our children.
Do you also think it goes to wanting to discuss dying, right? Because I know for me and my family, just trying to have the conversations with my parents to get to the point to say, hey, let's go talk to an attorney, is very hard because I think people don't want to talk about death, right? They'd rather just talk about living and being present in the moment versus actually dealing with what's inevitable for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is for certain, we all die and we don't know when. So instead of thinking of it as I'm planning for myself to die, you're planning for your children to live. The last thing you want is for your children to have to deal with, at a time of stress and grief, have to deal with now, okay, where are documents, or what do we do with the house, or is the whose name is on the house, where are their bank accounts? All those types of things are things that my clients deal with all the time because somebody has not created a good plan for the person that's passed on. So, I mean, I get it. Death is tough to talk about, you know, in our community, in any other community, but it's necessary.
But what about if you don't have children? Because we talk about leaving a legacy, but maybe you don't have kids. So should you still have an estate or a legacy plan or estate plan, or is it just for the people with the children?
No, absolutely. So if you think about it, Oprah, she doesn't have children. So who's going to get that money, right?
But she has a lot of money. She has a lot of money.
She has a lot of it, but there still has to be a plan for it. You can imagine people coming out of the woodworks. Oh, I'm her cousin, such and such. I'm her auntie.
I would be that person.
You still need a plan. It's not just about your children. Maybe you want to make some charitable donations. Maybe you want to have an endowment fund. That's something that our community doesn't necessarily understand. But if you look at some of the bigger, like Catholic churches, they'll have a whole wing that's dedicated from somebody's endowment or somebody's fund because maybe they didn't have children, but they wanted to make sure that they love the arts. So they have an art program now or whatever it is. We all have a legacy to live. We are here. We want to make our mark. So what do you want that to be when you're gone?
So what would you say for those that like maybe who said that I don't want to leave anything. I don't want to leave a legacy for my children. I want them to do it on their own. Like when I die, I built it. I'm going to take it all with me. So how do you deal with those type of people?
So bury me inside the Gucci store? Those type of people?
Those type of people. Because there are those type of people.
I have an answer for that as well. You're going to pass away, right? So this is your last chance to be in charge of what happens to whatever you have. Like, this is your last chance to tell people exactly what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. So if that's what you want to do, then fine. You don't have to leave it to your children, leave it to a friend, leave it to whomever. But this is your last chance to be in control.
So basically, you're saying leave it to somebody. Like, it may not be your children or whatever. You're just saying let's pass it down to somebody or something so it won't be chaotic at the time of death.
Right. Somebody has to do it. So make it easy for them.
You know, Warren Buffett, he has this saying that he said he actually has a campaign that he goes around for billionaires and he encourages them not to leave their entire billions to their children. He's leaving, I think him and Bill Gates are leaving like 1% to their kids. And his thought process was leave your kids with enough to do something, but not so much to do nothing. Right. And so I found that that was like really interesting. And if I had $1 billion, I would probably follow that same philosophy. So even like 1% is still well enough to be fine. They won't be living on the street.
Yes, right. Absolutely. That's the difference here, of course, of legacy planning, but still there's a plan. Like even for him, you don't work that hard just for the state to come in and be like, okay, so we'll tell you how to spend. We'll tell you what happens with the money. We'll tell you who be in control of it. Whoever.
Alicia?
Yes.
Okay, so let's move into what the process of how that works. So you mentioned durable power of attorneys and power of attorneys and things like that. So what is a power of attorney? And do you have to be a certain age? Do you need witnesses? Like, explain that process and what is the purpose of it?
Okay, so a power of attorney goes into play while you're still alive, but for whatever reason you are considered incapacitated, unable to take care of things for yourself. So unfortunately, sometimes, let's take COVID right now. So if someone were to get sick and have to be placed into the hospital, the way things have been going, they've been going immediately. They get tested, they get quarantined, but as you're quarantined, your bills still need to be paid, the lights need to be paid, the children need to be picked up from school, car note needs to be paid, mortgage needs to be paid. If you have a power of attorney in place, they could literally take that document, take it to these third parties and say, hey, I'm stepping in. This person is incapacitated. They're in the hospital. They're away. You know, they're unable to do this. I want to make sure that bills are paid. I want to make sure that the car is paid. So when they come back to the house, they still can live instead of having to start over and deal with foreclosure or repossession of vehicles and things like that. So your power of attorney comes into play while you're still alive, but you can't care for things for yourself.
So how long does it last?
Until you revoke.
Okay.
So how do you revoke it?
So typically what I'll put in my, go into play at the moment you're incapacitated. So we'll have a doctor, or you may have two doctors that will confirm that you're incapacitated for whatever reason. And then as soon as you receive capacity back, which means just means that as soon as you can care for yourself again, fully, and you're ready to take back over your finances or your everyday care, then you can revoke that power of attorney, step back into the role of yourself and take care of bills and things yourself.
So do I just verbally say this power of attorney is revoked, or do I have to do like a codicil or an attachment or saying that it's revoked? Like, how do you revoke it?
No, you would just contact your, so say for instance, it was the bank and maybe you had a cousin that was taking care of things for you. You would let the bank know, I'm back pretty much, and I'll be taking care of things from here on out. I have full capacity now. I can take care of my affairs. I can pay things myself. I'm back. I'm ready to step back into the role to take care of my own finances and my personal care.
So what are now, go ahead.
I'm Sam. Sorry. I was just gonna say, what I've run into is that some people believe that the power of attorney survives. So what you run into is Big Mama was incapacitated, mm-hmm. and you had one person caring for her and paying all her bills. Then Big Mama dies. But yeah. Somehow that person is still have access to Big Mama's bank account.
Yeah.
So when does the power of attorney, when do we transition from power of attorney to now we need to move into probate?
So you can imagine if once Big Mama dies, the bank doesn't know that unless somebody tells them, right? So somebody needs to get them a copy of the death certificate or just put them on notice. Hey, Big Mama has died. We are now entering into the probate land. So you, when you're a power of attorney, you're alive. At whatever level, you're alive. But once you pass, we are in probate land now. We need to now see some final documents. That's why it's called a last will and testament. Is there a last will? What does it say? Because sometimes that person that's the executor or the administrator that's going to administrate that will is not the person that's been caring for Big Mama. So that's where you run into those issues. They're like, wait, I've been caring for her for 2 years and I'm not even in control of the estate. Nope, you're not. probably not good with finances. We appreciate you. Good, but you're not good with finances. So, yeah.
So then what does a will look like? Because you talked about a last will and testament. So what does that look like?
So that last will and testament, depending on the level of legacy planning that we do, is really just going to say what your final wishes are. We can go from anything to that beautiful necklace that you got when you were 16 that you want to pass to your favorite niece, or the boat, the house, things like that. It's going to cover all of that and what you want to happen. The other thing, of course, we can also cover in a will is your burial wishes. A lot of people, that's a big deal. That is a really, really big deal. Some people want to be cremated. Some people want to be buried in that one suit that they wore that time on Valentine's Day, real fresh, you know, that type of thing. And if you think about it, I don't want to have to think about what my loved one wants to wear. Tell me. So I can go to this will, pick it out the closet, put it on you, we're good to go. So if you can do that pre-planning, then it definitely helps. So all of that is covered in the will. Anything that you want to leave to your loved ones and make a special request, which just means that you're going to leave it. You're going to specifically leave a particular item to a person or to people. Then you can do that through
your. Basically, you're just giving instructions to your family on what to do after you pass.
Yeah. But one thing that I've run into.
Yeah.
That is a big, big topic for people with children.
Uh-oh.
The guardian.
Yes.
If they pass away.
They're kooky.
People have, I know
kooky, couples. Right.
I've drafted their wills and they will not address it because they get into arguments about whose family will care for the children. And I have to explain to them that just because you list it, it's not like the court is going to say, okay, well, here go the kids, guys. It was in the will. So can you explain and work through that for parents? Because that is a hot button issue that I've run into with couples.
Okay, so a couple things to address that. One, I've created a family emergency checklist, and I'll send it to you guys. It's a free download. It's just going to help families think through what would happen in the case of an emergency. And part of that is, where would our children go? You know, if they had to go somewhere in the next hour, where would we go? That will help. I would hope that would help parents make that decision, because you need to make a decision, be clear. You need to be on one accord about it, right? The other thing is that there are some forms that we can use where they can declare a guardian. Although the courts are going to say, here, Pookie, and you can't have certain documents to make determinations. So the court can at least know what your wishes are. The court doesn't want to have to step into that role, but of course you want to make sure it's somebody responsible. You want to think about the life that you want for your children. Make a decision, people. Make a decision. It has to be made. You know if they went to one of those houses, how they end up. You may love them, and that's fine. You may love them, but you have to think about, okay, if they went to his parents, how much would their lives be changed? And then pick up and lose friends and lose their community. Would they have to leave there? You create some balance for them here and some consistency for where they are. And who can help you get to that? Who's the best couple, who's the best person to step into their role to make sure that as much as possible, your children's lives aren't disrupted.
And you can also, I know a lot of people have concern about, oh, well, she's a great person, but I don't want her handling the life insurance, you know, mm-hmm. or she don't really know how to manage money. She's great with the kids.
Yeah.
But I just don't want her to deal with the money aspect, or him to deal with the money aspect, because if we die, I have a $2 million policy and I don't really want them to be able to have access to all that money all that time. Are there things that we can put in place to protect your kids and to put something away, but also name that guardian?
Absolutely. So that's where the trust comes in. And a trust is created just like for that purpose. You know, you may have somebody that, like you said, they're really good with caring for the children. They're very nurturing, but they don't have a pot to piss in. So they're not good with finances. You're going to want to have a trust with a completely separate third party that's going to be able to account for what the child's needs are, what the education and living needs are of the child, disperse funds as needed to make sure that when that child is 18 or 25 or whatever the case may be, they still have something in the trust. They can still live from something that you've put into that trust up until that time.
So this has been a really great episode. But as always, we are wrapping up and coming to a close. But what I wanted to think is like just a recap. So basically, at the end of the day, we need to get away from our GoFundMe pages. And that's what we're saying. Leave a legacy for our family, you know, or leave it to somebody. Leave it to somebody. But before we actually do go, I want to go back to, I want to know in your experience real quick, what are common mistakes that people make when they're trying to leave a legacy? Or, you know, what are the common mistakes that you make? Like, what are some things that we can make this process smooth? So if they come to you and be like, I want to leave a legacy or whatever, but I went to LegalZoom and try to download this document. I know we're kind of coming to the end of the show, but I want to just point that out. Like, what are some little common mistakes that can be made?
So of course, one of the most common is trying to do it yourself. We are trained attorneys for a reason. There are certain verbiage that has to be in there from the statutes to even make your will valid. So it'll be a shame for you to go on LegalZoom, download it, think you have a good will put together, and it's leaving out important information. You know, if you want to do LegalZoom, do LegalZoom. But at least take it to an attorney after for a review of what you've downloaded. Maybe you can't pay for a full legacy plan, and that's fine. Start somewhere, have an attorney review it for you. That's the other biggest mistake, is just not having anything done. Thinking that, oh, they'll just take care of it. Or my family loves each other. They'll never fight. Please, please, please. That one tore up lamp that was in the living room for 16 years right. That nobody even cared about, they will fight for 2 years over that lamp. So that is another mistake, our perception that people have. Like, people, when they're in grief, it tears families apart. So don't make a plan. Make a plan.
One mistake that I see a lot of people is they get the documents made and they don't tell anybody. So nobody knows.
Yep.
Where they are.
Yeah.
Tell someone.
Yeah.
Make a copy. You paid this attorney all this money to draft these documents, and then you die, and the person, they're like, "Well, I know my mama had a will, but I don't know where it is." Put it somewhere. Give it to somebody. Tell someone, and don't tell someone that is more likely to die than you. Like, don't tell your grandmama who's gonna pass away before you. Tell somebody your age.
Is it okay if I do like an unwritten will though? Is that okay? Is that still considered? If I do a handwritten will, so you know, say for instance, somebody might be at their last moment and realize, oh my gosh, I might die tomorrow. Go with me here, you know, and I write down really quickly in my handwriting, I want to leave all my stuff to PetSmart.
So absolutely. But the only thing is, from top to bottom, front to back, that has to be in your handwriting. If any part of it is typed, it's invalid. If any part of it is supposed to be a will for husband and wife, but only one person is in one person's handwriting, it's valid for the one person that wrote it, it's invalid for the other person. So it has to be completely in the testator, in the person's handwriting.
So determine that is how do the probate process.
How do you determine the handwriting?
Yeah, that is, you know, because the problem is that you have someone who's written a handwritten will and they say, that's not my mama handwriting.
So that's what we're bringing witnesses. They're not the only person that knows Big Mama's handwriting. So she has that friend from 26 years that know how Big Mama write. We can get a checkbook. We can get her journal, her notes from church. There are a lot of ways to prove what her handwriting looks like. So that's easy. And of course, we can always spend money and buy and pay an expert to come in and judge the handwriting.
Taria, what was you going to say?
I was just going to ask about wills in general. Does a will trump everything else?
No. So you have some things that don't pass through a will. So they're non-probate assets. So for instance, insurance does not go in your will. When you have insurance, you name beneficiary different in the will, but that's a non-probate asset. So it doesn't even matter what you put there. What you've declared or whoever you've declared as a beneficiary there is how that will flow. So yes and no, wills.
Gotcha.
So do I need to get a life insurance policy too?
Absolutely. There are a lot of things you can do with life insurance policies. Especially now, and I'm not even gonna try to talk about life insurance policies. I don't sell them. I don't know. But I know there are a lot of things, a lot of different tools and a lot of saving strategies that you can use with life insurance policies.
Well, cool. Well, so this is the part of the show where we do arrest my case, ma'am. You know, we arrest my case. You gave us some good information. You know, now I'm gonna create me a legacy plan. I actually have a will. So, but you know, I need to update it. But thank you for giving us the tips on legacy planning, because we are in COVID-19. We're still in a pandemic that unfortunately is not going away anytime soon. And people need to realize, you know, people are dying faster, dying younger. So no matter if you are, whatever age you are, you do need some type of plan in place. So you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be a millionaire, billionaire. You can be a thousandaire, but you need, somebody needs to know how to better suit your assets when you pass on, or even if you just get incapacitated for a moment or for a long time, you need a power of attorney to help somebody with your finances, or you know, or tell a doctor on how you know you want to be treated if you can't speak for yourself. So, but this is the segment where it's rest my case, and this is where you can lay anything to rest that you are annoyed with in the world, annoyed with right now, or just in general. And I'm going to let Sam go first.
Okay. So I know that y'all are probably going to disagree with me on this, but I would like to lay to rest paying tens and 20 thousands of dollars for a funeral when you could be using that money to leave to your family. I think that funerals are the biggest waste of money, especially that a lot of times you see people putting together money for funerals that you really can't afford to have a funeral. And maybe you just need a memorial service. I do believe that you can honor whoever has passed away in different facets, but I would like to see our community stop wasting tens and twenties of thousand dollars on programs and things that are going in the ground. Let's take that money and build something for that person and put a name on a building or something. But me personally, I'm tired of the funerals. I'm tired of going back to Brandon, the GoFundMe, scraping up money together and just throwing it in the ground. Let's build up our community.
I like that. I won't disagree with you on that.
Yeah, no,
we need to
I agree.
Generational wealth. We really do. And this is the time to do it. T. Hutch.
Yeah, so I'm trying to decide if I'm going to talk about this estate planning. I'm not. Okay, so COVID-19 is still out there, guys. Can we wear a mask,
please? Well, you know, here in Houston.
Can we continue to? No, it's still out there, okay? You didn't need to go to that pool party. It wasn't necessary. Put a mask on. It's okay. Your mask can be cute. If you get your eyelashes done and put your eyeshadow, he can just look at your eyes and see all he needs to see. So wear the mask. It's not going to hurt you.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, just today, Harris County judge said that masks in Houston are required in a business continuity way if you don't have a mask. So
praise the Lord.
Well,
praise
well our God president is good. Says he's not wearing a mask, and if you don't, if you wear a mask, then you're against him.
So that means
I need to buy a ton of masks.
I got four.
Yeah. Put yours on right now. Yeah, that's right.
Alicia, do you have a rest my case?
You know what I do? I want to lay to rest excuses. We have an excuse about everything, especially when it comes to estate planning, creating a legacy, but we can stand in line for some shoes. We can get the newest iPhone that is however $800, $900. We get our hair done, and if you're getting some links in there or whatever you're getting, that could be $1,000 after you get the hair. We can get our eyebrows done permanent. That's a good $600-$700, but we can't take 10% of this money and set it aside and have a legacy for our children. Get out of here.
Generational wealth. I love it. Well, of course, I know my rest, my case. I say this every time we talk about life insurance, estate planning. GoFundMe. Let's lay that to rest. GoFundMe. I am not contributing to your GoFundMe page to Barrett, Pookie, Ray Ray, all of them. Because if you would have properly planned, you wouldn't have a GoFundMe. I need you to get your will, power of attorney, life insurance policy, especially out there. All our listeners, I have a great agent here in Texas, Freddie Noble. If y'all need life insurance, hit me up. We'll help you. But I'm laying to rest. GoFundMe to bury people. Let's stop doing it.
Although, Brandy, you know, George Floyd's GoFundMe raised like $13 million, which is the most ever.
But Floyd Mayweather actually paid for the funeral. So I'm okay with that. He paid for it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that money.
The funeral was paid for.
Yeah, the funeral was paid for. I'm here for GoFundMe if you're trying to raise money for like a scholarship or something like that. Like I'm tell you now, I'm not for GoFundMe when you're trying to get surgery. I ain't here for that either. So that come for me later. I said what I said. For ourselves, we need to create generational wealth. That is what we're harping on. This is 2020, Black Lives Matter. Juneteenth just passed. Let us create. We were trying to support. We got all these Black-owned businesses on Facebook. Everybody's supporting. Let's keep the same energy, same momentum. It is time, people. We need to act like the majority and create this generational wealth for our legacy and pass it down.
Yeah.
Thank you, Miss Alicia Jones, for
being here. Thank you, girl.
They can follow you where they can contact you for estate planning, legacy planning attorney.
Okay, so Facebook, Jones Legal PLLC, Instagram, Justice by Jones, phone number 713-364-2683.
And T-Hush with a mask on.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, it works. Where can they follow me? Simply Being T on Instagram. And wear your mask. It works. You see? You saw how it worked? See? Uh-oh. You got excited. See? Wear your mask.
Sam, are we following you today? Or are we going to follow you to go get this estate planning?
Follow me to Jones Legal while I get my estate clean, because I need to get my stuff in order. Okay? So that's where you can follow me.
Well, you can follow me at @brand_Janae, and you can follow us at No Further Questions on Facebook, No Further Q on Instagram, and NFQ Pod on Twitter. So hit us up, like, share. And again, thank you, Ms. Jones, for being a guest on our show, and we are out.
Thank you.